Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yo. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to episode 197A of Tales with TR. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. Just back from Sun Valley, Idaho. Thank everybody involved. What a time. Didn't disappoint. And I'll get into that in a little bit. Mike Commodore coming on the show tomorrow. We'll have that for you. He's coming on Friday, so it'll be a little bit late on this this week when it comes to episode B. But I wanted to get Commie when I could, and to be honest with you, I stood him up by accident. He was going to come on earlier, and I got the times mixed up. It's a good thing he's a good fella. I said, no problem at all. Just let's get together Friday. So Friday, 11 Pacific time, which about 3:30 in the afternoon here, I'll record it. I'll try to have it up by Friday night, but most of you'll get it for the weekend. It'll definitely be out by Saturday. And I'm looking forward to that. Mike Commodore, for a few reasons. A, he's a great storyteller. B, he's got a great story. C, he's won a Stanley Cup, and even the worst storytellers seem inspired when they tell stories like that, like of incredible accomplishment and achievement like that. So combine all those things together. And he was a very likable player, a fan favorite. I remember he had a story. I don't know where it came from. We'll find out. But I know when they went on the playoff run in Calgary, I believe, he wore a robe before games, and it caught on, and I remember them selling out at the, well, I think it was a story on the news. I don't know if they really sold out, but anyway, I remember that. I remember he had the long, funky hair, red, curly hair, and he would let it go and then shave it for charity at the end of the season. Usually, I remember that happening. And I'll do some research now tomorrow. I'll get gritty with it. I'll go well into it. But I know most of Mike's stories. I know he played around 500 NHL games. And was a tough customer. And the only thing today, I looked at his college career. So North Dakota, and one of those years, college, it's tough to get 150, 160 penalty minutes. And he had around that, I think it was 155. Which is a story in itself, just meaning you can't fight, right? So you can, I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want, but I know that you start getting suspended after your second and third fight, and it's not like junior where, you know, and at that time, what's he, 3 or 4 years younger than me? I mean, I had like 25 fights in my draft year. Like, I don't think that flies today. Well, I know it doesn't, but when he was coming up, it kind of did, kind of as it really did. It was as important for many players as it was for goals and assists or shot blocked or whatever, shots blocked, fights, if you could do it. Even now, I mean, it helps. People say it doesn't. I mean, if I'm scouting a guy, wouldn't it help if he can fight? I mean, I wouldn't take a fighter over a scorer, of course, in today's game. I guess depending on how good that scorer was and how bad you needed a fighter. I don't want to sound old school here, but yeah, there's still a huge fucking presence for, or a huge place for the physical game. But back then, at any time, college, it was rare to get, you know, upwards of 200 penalty minutes. So that'll be interesting in itself. But I didn't go beyond that today. So that's something that I didn't know, and I didn't realize Kami played for his hometown, Fort Saskatchewan Traders, and I've seen games there as well. So anyway, there's lots of things to be interested in. An interview with that guy, and you know, he's a very vocal dude. He shows up at a lot of podcasts, not the least of which is his own, Clearing the Crease, and of course Spitting Chicklets. I heard him on Nasty Knuckles lately. Anyway, it'll be great to get. And whenever you get a Stanley Cup winner, right? I mean, how many have I had on? Not a whole lot. I don't want to go off the top of my head because in 197 episodes, some of them with, every episode, generally I've had a guest in the B episodes going right back to, I think I only started that around the 100 mark or the 80 or 90 mark. I think most before that I had a guest. So we're talking, you know, I don't know, 150 plus guests. Brian Muir has a cup. Roenick, oddly enough, doesn't. Hey, that's wild. Anyway, I don't want to start listing off because I forget, but I know I've had cup winners on here. Chris Dingman, there you go. Brad Lukowich, I guess I've had lots. Anyway, go back and check it out if you're interested enough. I don't know about you guys, anybody that records for a living and hears the sound of their voice, I guess you either love it or you hate it, but I can't stand listening. The further I go back in my life, I don't mind watching like replays of goals or fights or, there's times. Yeah, little poems in junior, given that speech, that was a bit of fun. But as far as like analyzing the game or these kind of things or podcasts or even guesting on radio shows or podcasts, I cringe when I listen. Because I guess you're always evolving. I'm not embarrassed of the person I was back then, but I just listen. And it could be even, we're always changing, I guess. You could call it growing. Some people don't grow, do they? They go backwards, at least as far as maturity. Or maybe they get swayed by information that's not true. If you believe in multiple conspiracy theories, maybe, you know, I'm not saying the odd one isn't true, but sometimes you can get lost. So what I'm saying is that I'm older. In my opinion, I've grown as a person, but I guess that's open for analysis. But anyway, I'm rambling. Point is that I don't love listening to myself when it comes to interviews or stories or podcasts or whatever. But I invite you, it's still here for a reason. So I don't know who was my guest in episode number 50 or 60 or 70, but it's still here. We've been gaining listeners, so I don't want to listen to it, but I recommend if you enjoy guests like Mike Commodore, the further you go back, there's many of them, which leads me to believe I should probably interview a lot of these people again. Like I remember I had Sheldon Surrey on, Teddy Purcell, like right near the beginning. And those are interesting people. And if there's one way I know I evolved, it's letting people speak. I'm still not great at it. I talk too much. Like I said, it's definitely a result of my anxiety and my, high energy nature. So talking or writing or those kind of things that can be creative and productive, they're as good as a pill to me, right? To deal with anxiety or better because it's natural. But with that comes, well, the willingness to talk and be listened to. You know, not everybody wants to go there. So that helps me with the pod. But what hurts me And, you know, everything I learned in school and everything and over the years being interviewed, and there's a lot of things that go into making me want to do this. And I'm sure that people, some people anyway, come back and listen. But I know that one of the major flaws is cutting people off. It's more that I'm excited. I don't think I have anything more to say than these people, but I always feel that if something comes up, you know, that's relatable, then I often pounce on it and I cut people off. I get that. But, you know, we all evolve as people. You guys are listening to me literally evolve, good or bad, as a interviewer. So, and I know I have a long way to go. Anyway, for those reasons, I cringe. What else was I going to talk about today? The next thing, and quickly I'll brush on, and I know I told you Beatle fans that I'd have a Beatles episode, and I will. I might just make it a C, like add to episodes A and B. I know it gets confusing, but, and I will. I'm making notes again. I want to do a good job if I'm going to do one Beatles episode. Again, a lot of people probably aren't into the Beatles, but those who are, even those who are into music, it's going to be worth your while. But like I said, I lost the original book that I made the notes from, and it like goes through every Beatles song, and even someone like me that considers themselves somewhat of an expert, at least at the at their chronological history, somewhat deep history. You know, I know there are a lot of what there is to know about the Beatles, at least when it comes to like teaching and educating others on their presence, let's say, and their cultural impact. But it's always nice to have a magazine of each and every song that I made notes with. And, you know, so I want to go back. I want to do a good job. But anyway, that'll be in the near future. And like I said, I might make it just an episode on its own. But I want to elaborate on something, because I get some questions, and at the odd time I talk philosophically or about religion or politics or whatever, and it's always very loosely, because I'm an open-minded person, and I don't think that I'm necessarily right about everything. As I get older, I think I have a better perspective on, I guess, a worldview of humankind, and, you know, there is something to be said about experience. I think I can say that for everybody that's getting older. I mean, time happens, and I often give every day-to-day observations on this pod, and I don't really think about what I said, but a lot of people have told me, you know, that sometimes I might come on here and most of them agree with me, but I speak about the low attention span for like younger generations than me. But I want to elaborate on that, because I don't necessarily, it's all younger generation. Like, I think that with social media and the cell phone, those two major, there's all kinds of reasons, advances in technology have, and such fantastic otherworldly advances in technology that have happened in my lifetime, and more specifically the second half of my lifetime so far. A lot of them have led to a shortened attention span, okay? Let's just say when it comes to movies, I heard, I don't know where it was, Penny Lane and I were driving yesterday, and I heard on the radio, one of these, you know, talk radio shows I listen to, and they were talking about how nowadays, even like brands like Netflix, streaming services, they'll dumb down their shows, because a lot of people, while they're watching a movie now, will have a phone on and they'll be texting or doing whatever. And this is a subjective viewpoint. Some people are into that. If that's what people do now, that's what people do. And I don't want to sound like an old man yelling at the clouds. I don't. But if you're going to watch a movie, I would think, at least in my house, in my buddies, most of the people I know, and I do work in the film industry, so maybe I'm have a biased perspective, but most people will fucking sit down and watch the movie and put their fucking phone away, right? But a lot of people don't. A lot of people, and that's not necessarily just everybody's that's younger. That's not me pointing at Penny Lane's age group and saying that. No one my age did it when we were that age because it wasn't an option. But I think it's human nature to give in right? Otherwise, and these algorithms that are given to us by, I don't know, everybody from Facebook to Google, to whatever you're doing online, place you're working for, whatever, you know, whatever business that you're involved in, whatever social media you choose, a lot of things are, there's algorithms that are being based around your personality, right? And even though you're getting more and more and more information, you might live in a bigger or smaller and smaller and smaller bubble because they're only giving you certain information. So that's one thing. That's loosely based what I'm talking about. But from YouTube, remember years ago, what was that one Vine that kind of started it for me thinking like this? Like Vine was 7 seconds or whatever, and it kind of, then of course it expanded a little bit. Twitter even was only like, remember, 140 characters, then expanded to maybe double that, but still it's quick. Rather than read a book, read a tweet. Rather than watch a movie, you'll watch the summary on YouTube, and then it became Vine, and then it became stories on Instagram or Reels or TikToks. TikTok's probably the major factor here. But you know what I mean? So it was all like a series of things that would stimulate you immediately. Okay? And anything like even a video to a song became a lot. Right now you needed a quick TikTok. A video, you're going to have to sit down for 5 minutes and absorb it. And even though it's 5 minutes as opposed to 2 hours, a lot of people didn't have it or didn't want to do that. Right. So for that reason, you get like the art of the album. I talk about the Beatles a lot and I'll get there. But the Beatles were, they had great songs. They did. I mean, phenomenal songs, the best songs, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's. But their historical impact, I think, revolves around the fact that each album was an absolute light year ahead of the album before it. And the rest of the music world anyway, and then culturally by extension, the rest of the world didn't have a chance to catch up. Right. That's how good. So the Beatles like introduced that album as the art form. Basically, I mean, I don't think most musicians, no matter if you were a rapper or a country music artist or a jazz musician or rock and roll, I don't think you could argue that the Beatles at least changed the way we think about albums. Before that, it was mostly corporate packaging. Right. Elvis didn't have much say in what, and I use that as an example because Elvis was the most popular, but everybody from, I don't know, Little Richard to Elvis to Bo Diddley to Bill Haley and the Comets. A lot of them didn't really, there was nowhere to go creatively with the album. It was the package that the company you signed with wanted to create. So anyway, so albums, like, and I always try to tell Penny, you know, Penny Lane when we're in the car, what album a song came from. And eventually, I think at least for her, she's 14, at least understands the difference with the Beatles albums, and by extension, you know, we talk about it, whether it's Whitney Houston or, I don't know, Dolly fucking Parton or the Green Day, right? I still got my CDs in the car that I break out once in a while. It's not always the Spotify. I'll toss in one of my CDs. I got thousands of them. Might as well use them.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
So anyway, but for a lot of reasons I find, and with that short attention span, with that lack of a patience comes ignorance. I think the short attention plus patience plus lack of patience equals ignorance. And I'll tell you what I mean. And it does not everybody that are, that's younger. It's just a product of the phone. It's a product of the bullshit, the less personal connections that we have with people. We think that we know more. For me, I'm more connected to way more people than I was when I was just by, let's say, just Instagram, right? But teammates I haven't seen for a while, people that tune into Shorzy, most people on my Instagram I've never met, right? And those that I have, I spend way more time probably online being connected. I mean, if they're from Tri-Cities, Washington or Hershey, Pennsylvania, than I do in real life. And that's good. That's a good thing that I can do that. But what happens is that I find you have more relationships, less personal ones, right? Even people that you used to hang out with every day, you probably don't see as much every day. And you've got this online. And what I'm saying there is that I find with less human connection comes more human ignorance and less fucking respect. And just on the plane on the way back, I'm about to get on the plane. It's, you know, I traveled to get to Sun Valley. It was a great fucking time. And thanks to everybody there. I'm going to post more pictures soon. I'll explain it that way. It was fucking awesome. We played two games. I played for the Moon Mountain Moons against the Sun Valley Suns. Senior hockey game. They do a home and home every year. Now that I see it, I know what it's all about. Sun Valley have a great senior team, and they need players to play against, I guess. There's just not a lot of populated places around there. And they've, you know, a lot of Sun Valley is a very desirable place to go. So a lot of people live in Haley, Ketchum, and area. And of course, there's a lot of ex-hockey players there. So this particular team are a fantastic senior team, and they got a lot of sponsorship, a lot of interest. Both games were pretty much sold out. Just not a lot of teams to play. So once in a while, every year they have this game. I went in anyway. It was fucking phenomenal. The whole thing, Sean O'Grady to everybody there involved with the Sun Valley Suns. I'll get more into that in a second. But anyway, so I was coming back. But in order to go to these things, you know, especially when I live 5 minutes from the furthest easterly point in North America, right? So anytime I go out west, especially if it's one that requires a lot of connection, this is going to take me 20 hours. So it was, you know, better part of a day for sure. So it was 20 hours there, I think 21 on the way back, or 19 maybe on the way back. But in any case, it's a lot of travel. So, and look, I like to announce these things I go to so I can meet and be social. But sometimes, like on the way back, like I needed to do work for my podcast, for the radio show. I have to go around and do the Gregor show. I'm often in a bathroom when I do it. I find somewhere quiet in the airport I'm in. I have to do research on the guests that we have that day. So I have to do a lot of work. And a lot of the time people are stopping me and want a picture, an autograph. And that's fine because I know they're Shorzy fans or Tales with TR or Chicklets or whatever, or Montreal fans, or they're young authors, whatever. Right. So I get that. And I know it's a responsibility that I have as a person that's in the limelight. I get it. That comes with it. But it can get tiring if you've got work and you just want to get onto the plane when you can. And again, I'm not antisocial. I don't think anybody could probably say that. But I'm just telling you that sometimes it is tiring. If you're not at an event and you're on a 20-hour trip and you got to get off, like when I got off the plane here at 3 in the morning, I had to be at the studio at 6, right? I had to do that at the studio at 6 o'clock. So like, I know that I'm not going to have much sleep. I'm not, and I got to get this work done. Let's say it's research on Mike Commodore or for my podcast, and we're having Colin Livingston on the Gregor show, who's a race car driver, where I don't know much about, but I got to do some work. I got to get some sleep. So anyway, sometimes it becomes a lot. So I'm standing to get on, and you know, they're announcing zone one, zone two, and I normally don't care. Lots of times I wait till the very, very, very end, so I'll just get on and go. But I had two carry-ons, so I wanted to get on a little bit early for that so I could definitely stow them away. They were small carry-ons. But on top of that, I was in zone two. So they call zone one. They call zone two. So I'm like, okay, I get up, and the lineup's going forever. Right? Going forever. And then someone comes over and he's like, hey, man, I love the show. And then he goes on, he's talking about Letterkenny. So I go, okay, dude, but you've seen the advertisements for Shorzy. You're thinking I'm on Letterkenny. I'm in one scene, because he went on and on like I was in it like regularly. And I don't know if someone mentioned the word Letterkenny out loud. But anyway, this guy clearly hadn't seen Letterkenny or Shorzy. He'd seen like the ads. He knew the characters. But he thought it crossed over one into the other. So anyway, this guy was bullshitting anyway. He just wanted to, someone said I was on TV and he wanted a conversation and a selfie. Right. And then he went on like talking about, he remembered my time and I was one of his favorite players with the Habs. And again, I know that he's bullshitting me. I'm like, whatever. Anyway, I'm looking and I go, what, dude, what, like, what zone are you in? He goes, oh, four. I go, well, what the fuck? Why are you in front of me then? You know, like, and it was him and a bunch of other people. And they were just waiting there for when it was their turn, but they were in the line. So then they say, okay, now zone three and four, and everybody fucking piles in by them. Now I'm 80 people behind going like, fuck, you know, these people, like, they're waiting to be called, but they're waiting right by, in line, you know? So there's that. Then we get on the plane. Now I'm, it was Denver, Toronto, right? I went Haley, Denver, Denver, Toronto, Toronto home. And each one with a layover, man, I was tired. So then we're going to get off and I'm in 38A. It's 40 seats. So I'm at the very, very back in the window. Now, the lady gets on and says, and I had a 31 minutes, whatever it was, my plane, the plane from Denver didn't leave in time, weather or whatever. So I'm getting in and it's like, I don't know, say 6 o'clock and my plane now leaves at 6:31. It's something like that. And so the lady gets on the intercom, the stewardess, flight attendant, and she says, look, there's people that need to go on. She says, anybody going to St. John's, Newfoundland, Omaha, Nebraska, or whatever other place. I'm telling this. It was the fucking Denver flight is exactly what it was. And it was anybody getting on the Toronto flight, the Denver or the Omaha flight or whatever, let's say fucking Seattle, right? Your flights are leaving very quick because we were late off the runway. So you guys got to make it up. So can you put your hand up and say you're one of them? So we all put our hand up, probably eight of us near the back of the plane. So the stewardess says, look, we're going to pull in now. And once we were on the runway about to be attached to the walkway, whatever. So tarmac, is it? I don't know. So I did. I put my head up and everything. Now the plane stops. Now again, we're right. Now there are a few people, right? Either they had their fucking headphones on or whatever they were doing, which I get mistakes, but they didn't give a shit. Like they just start going. First of all, getting their shit. Now, probably the plane, again, it's full. So maybe 15 people out of, I don't know how many, 40 rows of six. There you go. So hundreds, right? 200 to 300 people. So anyway, and yes, I can do math. I know that 40 times six is 240. I'm just saying there was probably extra seats back there. I don't know. Was it absolutely full? Probably, but we're talking about around that many people. So anyway, and these people get up and they get in the aisle. And not only are they in the aisle, they start walking. So the other people towards the front, they were sitting down because they were going to let us through, right? But now these 10 to 15 entitled motherfuckers, they get up and now they're creating traffic. Now we're kind of behind them, but I'm not even out of my seat yet about by the window. So now because they get out and they start passing these people and they don't have to get off, they're just don't give a fuck. They're entitled. So they start going. So then other people are like, fuck it. Now they get up. Now I'm back. I'm supposed to get on my flight. I've got 31 minutes. I'm at the back. Okay. So anyway, I see these people and the guy who held me up going onto the plane, he's like three rows up. And then he looked back and he said, oh, you were going to get off. I said, yeah, I put my hand up a second ago and said it. I said, how about you? He goes, I got a 5-hour layover. I said, yeah, but you're standing in front of me. He said, well, everybody else. But what? You fucking asshole. You know? Yeah, but what? Then, of course, he brings something else up and he says, if you can believe it, he goes, yeah, my pitcher didn't get that. Can you come back? Let's get someone to take it from us because the angle on my phone doesn't work when I do a selfie. And he gives his fucking phone. Now, I got to get off, but I got to put on a happy face, right? Okay, hi. Give your balls a tug, whatever. The guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's never seen a fucking episode of Letterkenny. He's someone just told him that I was in a TV show. Now, of course, he does that. So everybody else there, same thing. They would have, if they recognized me, fine, they didn't. Right? It's all good. And I don't mind being recognized. I'm just saying, I'm trying to get off the fucking plane. So now they all do the same thing. And one guy's like, oh, what are you? And you could tell, right? He was from Atlanta, Canada, somewhere. They say, oh, you're down here too. Where are you by? I go, yeah, yeah, I'm down. I was in Sun Valley. I gotta get off the plane. What are you on a TV show? Yes, I am. It's me friend loves Letterkenny. You're right. Come on over, love. I got my son up here. Daryl, come down. Get a picture with the man. Daryl doesn't know who the fuck I am. This guy doesn't even know who I am. He just saw someone getting a picture with me. Now the plane's starting to disembark. I'm like, guys, I gotta get the fuck off the plane. Please. Right? And it's not just me. I'm back to the poor ladies behind me. They're in the same boat. Now we all got off. We missed our fucking connection. They were going to Omaha. I'm going to Toronto. Now it's lucky that there was another flight going to Toronto before my actual flight from Toronto left for Newfoundland. So there was no harm done, really. I just had to eat in the Denver airport as opposed to Toronto. But still, they don't know that. And it's lucky it worked out. But just, you see what I'm saying is that a lot of people now, the younger people have more access to younger things. And if you want to say TikTok is a younger thing, okay, fine. I guess it's more popular amongst that demographic. But TikTok was invented by people that had to be adults and they knew exactly what they were doing. And adults use it. And I don't know if it's just, I'm not saying it's just TikTok, but everything from YouTube to TikTok to how quick you got to, now even filling out a form or going to the doctor. And I get it. It's great. We don't have to wait anymore, right? We don't have to wait as much anymore. But all those things and instant satisfaction, instant gratification, instant completion, all this stuff has led to people to be just fucking have no patience whatsoever. And like I said, leading to goddamn ignorance. These people didn't give a fuck. They're getting off the plane. Half of them were stopping in Denver. That was the final destination. They're only going to get their gear a little bit. Yeah, well, fuck those people. It doesn't matter. My bags and me getting home on time is more important than these people who have to go on and endure of half a fucking more day of travel. That's what I mean. I think it's the era that we live in. And I think just people are programmed to just not give a fuck about you anymore. Right? So I'll go back to what I said. Not that I was going anywhere religious with this, but now you see what I mean when I said to Penny Lane when she was a kid. That's, well, I don't know, one of us came up with it, but she was only like 3 years old. And I was like, look, everything in the Bible isn't bad. Do unto others as you want done on yourself. That's straight out of the Bible. And while I don't believe all the happenstance in there, that's a good teaching. And that takes care of all that bullshit. And all you need is love, I said. So all you need is love, Beatles, and fucking do unto others as you would want done unto yourself, Jesus H. Christ. And I think if you just went by two of those rules, we'd all be better people. No one even realizes it either. And that's something I think is changing. I'm not saying that there always wasn't ignorant people and entitled people, but now the amount of people that feel entitled and more important than thou is growing at an exponential rate through people that don't even have any reason to believe that. What do? I'm a YouTube star. Okay. It's not just young people that are YouTube stars. That motherfucking ignorant cunt on the plane was on his cell phone the whole time too. So, you know, and this guy was older than me. I don't know, 50 odd. Oh yeah, I love that scene, that major scene you did in Letterkenny. Oh yeah, that one by the store, was it? No, it wasn't. Well, one of the scenes you did. Yeah, well, I only did one on Letterkenny, sir. I'm not in the show. Well, whatever it was. And yet ring there. Yeah, it's a hockey ring. Play, did you? That was a ball hockey ring. Oh, did you? Stanley Cup. No, not a Stanley Cup. I played with Montreal. What's your name again? Terry Ryan. Oh, yeah, I remember you, Ryan. I remember some big goals. Like, this guy was clearly bullshitting. All he wanted to do was sit there because someone said I was on fucking TV. And this guy wanted to be the loudest in the room, right? Never did realize because, I mean, all we did was hear about him and his, well, I was going to make it. I'm not kidding you either. I was going to make it. The guy played hockey. He knew about hockey. I was going to make it My coach fucked me over, though, in bantam. I said, fuck that anyway. And then I took too much time off, and I came back, and I couldn't make it after that. I went to juniors, but I'm like, oh, yeah? So what's your name? You should be right here, knowing it. By the way, we're waiting to get off the plane here, right? Because now every other ignorant fuck is in front of me. So, yeah, we had a long conversation. Oh, yeah, really? I said, well, you should be on here then, Hockey DB. Not sure if it's on there, but they didn't do that back when we were. No, I know they didn't, but retroactively they update it. In other words, I know, you fat fuck, that you never skated a day in your life. Probably know about hockey. Well, skated may be wrong, but not on a fucking all-star team. And I know that the reason that you didn't make it isn't because of your coach. What a slap in the face to me and every other goddamn player that put on their skates and even played any level of all-star. What an insult that you would have made it. Really? No. My friend Harold Drucken would have made it if he didn't get injured. My buddy Patty O'Keefe would have made it if he left earlier from Newfoundland. You know, or at least you can't say anybody would have made it, but at least these people, or I don't know, Mark Hurley from junior, he would have made it if he was a little bit bigger. BJ Young would have made it if he didn't die. You know what I mean? Like, this guy just, coach fucked me over in Dartmouth. Coach fucked me over. Otherwise, I would have made it. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Go have a ham sandwich and get out of my face. Fuck. Anyway. Penny Lane, we got to get going soon, right? Yeah, so I'm going to end there. And I should say, Chris Simon, guys, I got a lot of messages today. Thank you for the concern. So I met Chris Simon. I played against him. A lot of his friends that I've even had on this program are friends of his. So I feel like I knew him better than I did. But he was real nice to me when I met him. And seemed like, as we say in Newfoundland, a salt of the earth kind of guy. Right? I believe we know it was suicide, but we don't know what was going on at all. To speculate about everything else, I really don't. I just know that the hockey world and the world in general lost a good, loyal person who, to me, sounds like he was an incredible teammate. If you had asked me over all these years just to explain that guy in a sentence or a word or a couple of words, I would say incredible teammate, just because I've heard enough people that played with him talk about him in such a high regard. So rest in peace, Chris Simon. You will be missed. Folks, I'll be back in just a couple of days with Mike Commodore and more Tales with TR. If you're downtown St. John's, why not check out Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, the Martini Bar, Greensleeves Pub, and of course, the Bull and Barrel. If you're going to go for a bite to eat, why not try Merchant Tavern, Blue on Water, or the new and improved Loose Tie, run by others, as well as Danielle Young, my ex-wife, who's doing a fantastic job, and with my good friends Jody Temple, Stephen Hancock, and company. I'm not just saying it because she's there. They've really, really improved Loose Tie, which is just above Greensleeves, and is a fantastic spot for any business or personal dinner, or sometimes they have live music. Check it out. It's an extension of Greensleeves, but a very classy one at that. If you're in the east end of St. John's, you want to have a bite to eat, it's lunchtime, or you want to even get something for catering, because they do that too. Wedgwood Cafe, Peter Wedgwood, Wedgwood Cafe. If you want to work out, Ryan Power, Power Conditioning, strength and balance for the body and mind. Look no further than Power Conditioning on Rope Walk Lane. If you want to go to Mr. Lube, there's two locations in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. Torbay Road and Canmount Road. Chris Sparks. Live, laugh, lube! Of course, Pitbull Pain Relief. Pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com and see what all the fuss is about. True Hockey, take what's yours. We'll be back just a couple of days with more Tales with Tier. Thanks for tuning in, folks. See you soon.